Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Pleasure to have the opportunity to learn together. Please ignore the sponsorship on the cover of the handout. This is our third, I think, or fourth shiur with this handout. It's still the old cover with the sponsorship, but I want to thank today's sponsor, Arnold Goldstein, in memory of Althea Goldstein, Alta Shulamis Baz Baruch Shaul Alevi, whose neshama should have an aliyah. Thank you for your generous sponsorship. As always, thank you to the Frohlich Financial Group for sponsoring our afternoon kollel three afternoons a week. Two quick announcements. One, there is a special session of the kollel tomorrow. Normally we meet Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Tomorrow, if you're checking, is a Tuesday, but there'll be a special session 1 hour after the early mincha from 3 to 4. It is the 23rd Yuritzeit of Rabbi David and Simi Shabtai's mother, and they'll both be giving a short shiur in memory of their mother. So certainly a way to honor her memory and a way to honor them for all they do for our community. Again, Mincha Lamar 2:45, followed by 3 to 4, an abbreviated extra day of the Kollel. And we have a special treat after my shiur today. Rabbi Moskowitz is not teaching. We have a guest speaker. I'll introduce him, please God, when he comes. Okay. We are continuing on the topic of bribery and protectia. Now you should ask for or against, pro or con. But the question of bribery, cutting lines, using protectia, this topic was motivated or stimulated by the scandal that happened earlier this year, getting into college. But we saw, and we're not going to review everything from the beginning, but we saw that it applies not only in university setting where scandals of bribery have occurred, but it occurs as well in yeshivas and chadarim, people using protectia, people paying with money, people bribing their way to the front of the line. We saw it in the realm of pharmaceuticals and doctors, the marketing that's used many, many, many fold to doctors themselves than to consumers, understanding, trying to create a bias within the doctors of what they prescribe and how they treat. We saw the question manifest in many areas, this issue of bribery, the issue of protectia, what does halacha say? We saw the Torah, no less than three places, mentions the prohibition of shochad. It blinds people, it blinds even the chacham, the wise. It distorts our vision, it clouds our judgment. We saw the Gemara in Ksubas, bribery takes the form of many things other than just money. In fact, in this week's parsha, last week's parsha, we had this prohibition of bribery. And I saw a story, I forgot which of the Gedolim was on a Din Torah and had interacted with someone on the way in the room who shared their sad story. They cried, and because they had shed tears, they now felt they could no longer maintain a level of impartiality to serve as a dayan. So bribery, the Gemara Ksuba says, is not just money. Somebody helps you up the stairs. Somebody opens the door for you. Even these minor, seemingly insignificant things can corrupt, can distort perspective. It's a prohibition not only on the one who pays the bribe, it's a prohibition on the one who receives the bribe. The Rambam formulates that prohibition as a violation of lifnei iver. We saw, is it a chok? The Chazon Ish suggested it's a chok. People can paskin for themselves, even though they're nogeya b'davar, even though they are significantly invested in the outcome of the psak, in a question of hilchos shchita, hilchos nida, and the like, personally invested. So therefore, he labels it a chok. We then moved over to the second realm, which was the issue of halachic values of how we form lines. And we talked about the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Mishnah Sanhedrin, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, pshara, a compromise that has to be made. Not all lines are created equal, or all people who come on a line. And the Meiri expands the list that was provided for by the Gemara and talks about a incapacitated person, a woman, an orphan, a widow, a Talmud Chacham, and so on. The Gemara in both Ksubas and Darim talked about a Talmud Chacham. Perhaps the Talmud Chacham has a greater right to cut the line. We saw several reasons why. Rashi said it's a manifestation of Kavod HaTorah. You honor the Torah, you honor the people who represent Torah. Torah doesn't wait. The Rosh said, no, the Talmud Chacham's time is valuable. They could be learning Torah if they're not waiting on a line, and therefore they're allowed to cut. Tosafot says that they only get precedence if they come at the same time. But if in fact someone else came first, Talmud Chacham is not entitled to cut the line. Shulchan Aruch paskins this notion that a Talmud Chacham can advance on the line, halacha l'maisa, but Rav Sternbach qualified it for us by saying that while the Talmud Chacham might be entitled to it, he should never ask for it. The Talmud Chacham's job is to say, no, I'll wait in line, no thank you, I'm like everyone else. Everyone else's job is to say to the Talmud Chacham, please, go ahead, you shouldn't have to wait for us. That was the second area. And then we began to move over to this third area, which was an attitude towards protectia and the utilization of protectia. We saw an interview with Rav Aviner, the Rav of Beit El, the Rosh Hashiva of Ateret Kohanim, who talked about the negativity of protectia. Protectia, he said, is a form of shochad. It is in fact a form of bribery. And Hashem dorish mimcha kim asos mishpat yavas chesavatz ne'alachas melekecha. Hashem wants us to not only have a modesty and humility in dress and speech, but in conduct. A person has to act properly with a sense of righteousness and a sense of justice, and they should not take advantage of protectia. Shlomo Zalman was asked about getting someone into an old age home, a long-term care facility using protectia, and he said, Zo sheila kasha, it's a very difficult question. He doesn't want a forbidden, because then you put yourself at a disadvantage. If the rest of the world is operating using protectia, are you obligated to put yourself at a disadvantage? On the other hand, to engage in it seems morally corrupt and unjust. Which brought us up to source 26, page 14, which is where I believe we're at. We had begun to investigate this question. I want to continue with it today. Yes?
Why is it that the Rambam says that it's only the Medina protecting Shofar? The Pasuk says the favor to seek after.
Good question. So why does the Rambam formulate that the prohibition... Yeah, that's a good question. We looked at the Rambam was source... Where was this Rambam? Oh, no, that was the Rambam. Kishem shalokeach over. Sorry, it was the opposite. You're right. Kishem shalokeach over below sase, kacha nosein. Shenemar l'fnei iver. Correct, that's what I meant to say. In other words, the recipient violates it. That's the pasuk l'sikach shochad. The one who gives may not be violating shochad, but they're violating l'fnei iver. They have set up the recipient to violate it, therefore they are in violation themselves. So we began to see this question in the Chashukei Chemed, and for the rest of our time today, and the rest of, we'll complete this topic, we'll see practical questions related to this issue, which is not just theoretical, but is halacha l'maisa. As Torah Jews, our values, our decision making, should be governed not by what the secular world thinks, not by what intuitively or instinctively we think is morally just, but we have a halacha, and we have a halachic morality that should inform us. So this question, I think we read the question last time, so we'll go through it quickly. Was a chola zakuk lavar ashtalas kliya? A sick person needed an organ transplant, a kidney transplant. This Motzei Shabbos, we're having a program with Renewal, an organization that promotes and coordinates kidney transplants. Our own Rabbi Shabtai donated a kidney, saved a life. Many in our community, many, when I say many, many more than one, which is an incredible number. Several have donated. We had one recipient of being a match. So what is the halacha? There's a line. People who need an organ transplant are in dire need for that transplant. Hatur shalom amtin l'shalos kliya aruch ma'od. And that line is long. Haymoto l'shtadu l'kadim s'mokom abatur. Are you allowed to try to advance your place on the line? Can you bribe whoever's the baal ha'line, whoever's in charge of the line? Can you manipulate? What can you do? Use protectia? Can you do so knowing that if you advance yourself in the line, there's an injured party. There's a victim, namely the person who would have received their organ quicker. You've now delayed their place on the line, thereby delaying when they receive their organ. So you did not just advance on a line in a way that doesn't affect others. In this particular halachic question, it affects others in the greatest way possible. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Niyeh B'dvaro. So, Rav Zivrishnin Chashukei Chemed begins by quoting our Gemara Bava Metzia, two people walking on the way. We talked about this last time. I told you this happened in a desert in, I think, Arizona recently, fairly recently. People are walking, one jug of water. Do they split it? They both die. Do you give it to the other person? You die. Or do you hold on to it? It belongs to you. The machlok is ben Petura and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, v'chayachicha imach, chayacha ar kodmin. Your life comes first. If it belongs to you, you do what you need and can to preserve your life. And as tragic as it is to see the demise or passing of another, you're not obligated to give your own life. And the Chazon Ish writes, nir dein chaver rishay l'gzomi menu meimav. The Gemara's question is a funny one. What do you mean? Party A, Reuven has a jug of water. Shimon has nothing. Shimon, if he asks you a halacha question, Shimon has a cell phone, he's in the desert, he's got reception for half a moment, and he texts you a shayla on WhatsApp. He says, I have no water, my travel companion does. If I don't drink the water, I will surely die. After all, you're allowed to violate all of Torah except for the big cardinal three in order to save your life. In order to save your life, pikuach nefesh, docha, everything. So if he would ask you, what's the halacha? May I steal some of his water? Can I steal his whole water in order to survive? What might you have said? I might have thought the halacha is yes. Because after all, pikuach nefesh is docha, everything in the Torah. We talked about the Heinz dilemma. So the Chazon Ish writes, you're not allowed to. Why? Because even though you're allowed to be matzil atzmo mimo mechavero, here, chayecha kodmin, gozal nefesh al chavero. This is not a question of can you violate the prohibition of stealing to save your life. This is a question of can you violate the prohibition of murder to save your life. Because the other party has a canteen of water, has a jug of water enough to preserve their life, if you steal it to save your own, you are condemning them to death. So this is not a question of can you save your life by stealing? This is a question of can you save your life by murdering, by killing. Chayecha imach, which Rabbi Akiva darshens chayecha kodmin, that your life comes first. So your life does come first. That's why the one who owns it can keep it. You can't steal it. By the way, if you do steal it, the halacha is you have to pay for it. Meaning if you steal something to save your life. So you're running down the street, there's a robber chasing after you, and you see somebody leaves their baseball bat outside their house, and you want to grab the baseball bat in order to save your life. And it's going to break the bat over the robber's head. The halacha is you're allowed to take the baseball bat, and after you save your life and catch your breath, you got to pay them for the bat. That would be the halacha. That is the conclusion of the halacha. So the Chazon Ish qualifies and he says, true, pikuach nefesh is docha, but here you're not saving a life by stealing, you're saving a life by murdering. So therefore, l'chora gam ben yanenu kach, says Rav Zilberstein, if we apply that also to our issue, hagonev kliya is chus k'tim l'shtel kliya, if you steal an organ or you steal a higher place on the line to get an organ, nechshev kigonev nefesh, you've stolen a life, you've essentially murdered. Now, you don't know that by pushing someone down on the list, they're surely going to die, but by stealing that place on the list, which would have been life-saving for them, you've not stolen something material, you've not stolen something replaceable, you've not stolen something physical, you've stolen a nefesh, you've stolen the place in line to be life-saving. So, l'chora, at first, if you apply the Chazon Ish's interpretation, then it should be forbidden. Die and don't violate. Just like if someone puts a gun to your head and says, Shimon, murder Reuven or I'm going to kill you, you have to say, I can't murder Reuven. Do what you have to do. Can't? Not allowed? So this taka is one of the three cardinal sins. We have to view this from the perspective of Ritzicha, not of Geneva. So Rav Zilberstein wants to say that no, maybe our application of the Chazon Ish was incorrect. Chazon Ish said, you're allowed to steal to save your life, but if you steal the other person's water, you've not stolen to save your life, you've murdered to save your life. That's if you steal their water. What if neither of you have water? And what if there's a line to get to the water and the other person's in front of you in the line? So you cut them in the line to get to the water, but to water that doesn't belong to either of you. That is more parallel. That is a more accurate comparison to our case, says Rav Zilberstein. And there, we don't say cutting a place in line is the equivalent. If there's one canteen of water and the other party has it, and if I take it, they will surely die. When I've stolen the water, I've murdered them. I've condemned them to death. But if we're both in line to get to water and the water is not owned by either of us and I steal the place in line, that too is stealing, who says that's the equivalent of stealing a life? When you steal your place in line, the Me'iri and the Gemara in Sanhedrin we saw last time, Me'iri talks about that's not stealing. Stealing has to be a material physical object. Stealing access, stealing a place in line, that's a violation not of Geneva. What's that a violation of? Righteousness. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Pursue righteousness. Righteousness shall you pursue. So when you cut a line, you're an unrighteous person. That's not the way to behave. That's not the right thing to do. You violated something in the Torah, namely tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, but you did not steal a place. That language to steal someone's place in line is inaccurate. You haven't stolen. It doesn't fall under the umbrella of the prohibition of stealing. It falls under the prohibition of tzedek, of righteousness. So based on that calculation, based on that analysis, so maybe I'm not allowed to murder to save my life. Can I do something unjust to save my life? Can I violate tzedek tirdof to save my life? So getting higher on the line in the organ transplant list, we've now concluded based on that Meiri, since there's no, I'm not feeling, in other words, if someone was designated to receive a kidney, and the kidney's been packed and the helicopter's bringing it, and I hire some elite crew to go hijack the helicopter and steal the kidney and bring it to another hospital and put it in me, that's the equivalent of taking the water. That's not stealing a kidney, that's stealing a life, that's murder. But if the kidney doesn't belong to anyone, we're all just on a line. If I advance myself in the line, I haven't stolen, I have violated tzedek tzedek. And who says that you have to give up your life rather than violate tzedek tzedek? So now we've turned the whole thing on its head and we're back to being confused. So continues Rav Zilberstein. Venira, Sha'af Sha'asa L'Rofe on page 16. Venira, it would seem, why am I on page 16? What happened on page 15? Oh, sorry, page 15. Am I out of order? 16, I'm out of order for some reason. Sha'af Sha'as L'Rofe. No, I lost the place. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's the end of the Shuba, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, that's it. So his conclusion. His conclusion is it's unclear. Right, so you could argue on his analysis too and say that where you are in your place in line is essentially the same thing as being the owner of that organ. Now that might be true if you're number two and you skip over number one to get the organ that number one was about to get. But if you're number 19 and number 20 and you go from number 20 and you steal place number 19, it's hard to say that you've stolen his life. You're still far down, but you have stolen a place in line. That's a violation of tzedek tzedek. Correct. It's possible it's not even available yet. Right, so you can't claim you're stealing that life-saving organ for him that has yet to even be available. That kid hasn't been in the motorcycle accident, or the live person hasn't yet signed up from renewal. They didn't go to the free dinner Malava Malka with Shulam Lemmer and decide they're going to give the kidney. So the kidney wasn't even available when you hopped your place in line. So what you violated was tzedek tzedek. You didn't necessarily violate. So Rav Zilberstein stopped short. He's not endorsing. He's not telling somebody who comes to ask a shayla, yes, I think you should, in order to save your life, ignore the rules of courtesy and Seder and jump the line. But it remains a complicated analysis. Hold the questions because we have a lot more material and I want to try to get through it today. Page 15, source 27. Another shayla on the Chashuki Chemed. Odom ha-muna al-ishtalus v'krovo tzorach la'asos ha-shtola kliya ha-motor lo la-haktimo. So maybe the person himself is on death row. The person himself faces a terminal condition. They need an organ. Maybe, pikuach nefesh is docha tzedek tzedek tirdof. Pikuach nefesh is docha menschlichkeit, even if it's not docha murder. And so maybe the person themselves with the terminal sentence can skip the line. But what about if you're in charge of the line and you have a relative now who needs a transplant? Are you allowed to use your position of being in charge of the organ transplant list to sneak in your relative higher up? Tshuva, nemar b'shulchan aruch. You have several poor people in front of you, and you do not have enough money to redeem all. So the Shulchan Aruch records, based on a Gemara, that all are not created equal. All are created equal in some ways, that's inaccurate. In many ways, we're tzelem alakim, chaviv adam shenever b'tzelem. Let's be clear, don't misquote me. We're all created equal. Until we got to decide who gets in the lifeboat. And when you got to decide who gets in the lifeboat, and by the way, secular society also doesn't determine everybody is equal. Everybody's not equal. I heard it. This is dangerous to say. I should put this recording on pause. I'm not saying I endorse this. But I heard once a comedian say that the reason that men's wages are higher than women is as long as when there's a fire, they get to leave first, or there's a lifeboat, they get the place in the boat. That is the benefit. That's the pay. That's the trade-off. Equal pay, then everybody goes out. I'm not saying I endorse that. I'm not saying I don't. I'm not saying I do. I'm saying every society has its rules and hierarchy. Every society has its protocols. Women and children first. If you were to disagree and say, no, I'm a feminist. I believe in equality. Not women and children first, me first. The women and children, it would be disrespectful to the women to suggest that they need to go first or they need to go into the lifeboat. I'll go in the lifeboat because I believe in egalitarianism. So in today's society, you could be the biggest progressive in the world. Women and children first. That's what's right. That's what's Menschlichkeit. So the point is, Shulchan Aruch records its own version of a hierarchy. Every society has one. So Chol V'Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, we're all created equal, except when you got to make room in the lifeboat. Who goes in the lifeboat, literally and figuratively? Kohen goes before Levi. Levi goes before Yisrael. Yisrael goes before a mamzer. When all are equal in their knowledge, however, if the mamzer happens to be a big talmud chacham, it's not their fault. The parents had promiscuous relations, left that individual with the status of a mamzer. They're not a. We shouldn't use colloquially the term when we're frustrated by somebody. You call them this name, and that name is reflective of their behavior. You acted like that person's a mamzer, what they did to me. A real halachic mamzer did absolutely nothing wrong. It's a major theological dilemma. Why should the mamzer suffer, be ostracized or marginalized or limited in their integration into society? They did nothing wrong. They're punished for the behavior of their parents. So this mamzer could be born righteous, did nothing wrong, even if it's from an unrighteous union. So the mamzer could be a talmud chacham. And the Kohen, who happens to have the genetics of a Kohen, is a big Am Ma'aretz. So then the Mamzer Talmud Chacham goes first. Now let's say you have room in your lifeboat, and one of the people there who needs it is your father or your Rebbe. So if your father or your Rebbe is a Talmud Chacham, and it could be that someone who's a bigger Talmud Chacham than any of them, but if you include the factor that they're both your father or your Rebbe and a Talmud Chacham, they go first. This is the question of who gave you Chai Olam and who gives you Chai Shah. Your father gives you life in this world. Your Rebbe gives you life in the world to come. Your father could also give you life in the world to come if your father is also a form of your Rebbe. So the... He continues, so the mamuna, the person who's in charge of the line, maybe, is like the individual who determines who gets to go on the lifeboat. In other words, you walk up to the ocean, and there are crazy waves, and they're pulling people under. And now you've got to make a big decision. You only have enough to save one. So first of all, you've got to be the gabbai to know who's the Kohen, who's the Levi, who's the Yisrael. You got to be the gabbai to know who to save. Right? So... Okay, Kohen before Levi, Yisrael, Mamzer, Mamzer, Chacham before Kohen, Am Ma'aretz, your father, your Rebbe, all bets are off, you could save your father, your Rebbe. So maybe, the person who's in charge, designated in charge of the organ transplant line can say, I'm like the individual who walks up to the ocean, the stormy ocean, and I get to decide, based on the Torah's hierarchy, who to save. So if my father or Rebbe needs a kidney, boop, they go to the top of the line. I'm in charge of the line, father or Rebbe, that's the halacha, that's the Shulchan Aruch, maybe I bump them up. But that's illogical. Because what makes the gizbar... See, if I walk up to an ocean and people are drowning, I am not designated by anyone else. I am using and exerting my own energy and efforts to be able to save someone. So I get to determine how to direct those energy and efforts. And the answer, the conclusion I come to, should be informed and inspired by the Torah value and ethic. But if I've been hired... Or even if I'm volunteering to be in charge of an organ transplant list, I don't autonomously get to determine on my own how to expend my effort, even informed by the halachic hierarchy. It's illogical. You just happen to be in charge of the list, but those aren't your organs to give out. If they were your organs to give out, the same way it's your energy to jump into the ocean and save someone, so then you're right. You'd follow that hierarchy. But they're not your organs to give. You're just in charge of maintaining the list, supervising the list. So Sefer Derech Amunah says, similarly, that, let's say I have $100 to give, and I have relatives who need tzedakah, and then there are aniyim, 100 people in the lobby handing out envelopes who need tzedakah. So I'm entitled to, it's my money, I'm entitled to say I'm giving more to my own relatives. Here too we have a hierarchy of halacha, the Shulchan Aruch records, your family, and your so on and so forth. But I'm entitled to designate to my own family before and more than I designate to others when it's my money. But now let's say I run the discretionary fund of the shul, and I happen to have a relative who needs money. So would I apply the halacha that says krovim, that krovav come first, because I happen to be in charge of the discretionary fund? I can't do that any more than if I run Bill Gates' foundation and my relative needs money, I'm not entitled to take Bill Gates' money based on who my relative is. So Derech HaEmunah differentiates, distinguishes between how I allocate that tzedakah that's my own and how I allocate the tzedakah that I am in charge of that is of others. You can't find favor. You can't show favor. That's a form of bribery. That's unjust to direct the community's money to your relative. It should be determined based on merit. It should be determined based on what is just and what is correct. So I am allowed to allocate my own giving, but I'm not allowed to allocate my responsibility towards a more collective or communal giving in that way. So lower those based on this. So you're a government appointee, or you've been elected to this position to be in charge of the organ transplant list. You're not allowed to give favor. You're not allowed to leave the regular line. Normally you can steal to save a life, but this whole list is a list of people who already have the status of sakanas nefashos. So to manipulate that list is to threaten their life, and that you're not allowed to do. Ulam im kam adam ashir, so if Zilberstein says, based on what we're saying, based on this analysis, let's say a great philanthropist gets up and says, let's say Mayor Bloomberg has some money left over, and he says in the end, you know what? I'm worth $60 billion with a B. I'm going to take $5 billion, less than 10% of my money, and for $5 billion, I'm going to found my own organ harvesting, organ donation, organ coordinating transplant organization. Let's say Renewal was not supported, let's say, communally. Let's say there was a great philanthropist who started Renewal, covers all the overhead of Renewal, and pays every kidney donor, which is, I think, illegal. You're not allowed to buy kidneys. I don't think you can receive payment for organs either in this country yet, which is a separate topic, by the way. It's a fascinating topic. We intuitively think that it should be immoral and unethical to pay for kidneys. But what if you conclude that you'd save a lot more lives if you used or treated organs as a commodity that you could receive payment for, not in a way which would endanger the own? It's a fascinating topic in halacha with a lot of variables to it. Because what happens if the poor person who really is not healthy enough to donate a kidney but feels compelled to do so because they need the money? So there's a lot of interesting halacha questions to it. But leave that, that's for another time. Back to our topic. So you have a major philanthropist who on their own pays for the entire organ transplant organization. Or you have a righteous person who steps on, doctor, who coordinates it. If the organ transplant program belongs to you, individually, you began it, you fund it, it's yours, and it's acknowledged by all, then in fact, you can favor a relative. You can favor a neighbor. So we're viewing your role and responsibility to the organ transplant list like a gabbai tzedakah. When I give my own tzedakah, I can give tzedakah in the hierarchy and according to the protocols that I want, informed, of course, by halacha, but I'm entitled. It's my money. When I'm in charge of someone else's tzedakah, when I'm in charge of the communal fund, then I'm not. And similarly here, if I run the organ transplant program, if I fund it and it's mine, then I'm entitled to show favor. But if not, I'm not. The rabbim He says, also it's possible that a Beis Din can determine that an individual has the status of Ish Arabim Tzrichim Lo, a person who's needed by the many. So let's say you have a person who has an unusual talent, skill, wisdom, position, and they are having a transformational difference and impact on others. And in the event of their demise, it's not only they or the immediate family who will suffer, but it's much more broad. So one might determine that that yachid has the status of a rabbim. There are such people, such transformational, everyone's replaceable, but there are such irreplaceable people. So he says a Beis Din would determine it. Everyone thinks they're irreplaceable. So it's not up to us to determine it. Everyone wants to see themselves as irreplaceable. So it wouldn't be up to us. But let's say there was a third party who determined that someone has that status of rabbim. You know, Rav Volbe quotes in Ali Shor a tradition from Rav Yisrael Salanter. I share it every year Elul time, that if you want to succeed in Din, if you want to succeed in the period of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you want to get through that period well, then you should be a person sheharabim tzrichim lo. When you come before God as an individual and you say, God, my merits, keep me around. I'm not bad. I do good things. Keep me around. God says, really? You do such good things? Bring me his file. Let me see how many good things, how many bad things. Let me see what he does. But if you come, and not just you, now the whole community comes and says, you understand the impact if you take him or her? If you make yourself a person, sharabim tzrichim lo, then you are evaluated not as a yachid, you're evaluated, said Rav Yisrael Salanter, as a rabbin. So that's true in Yemei Adin, and it's true here in this halachic question. Venira, the next page. Sha'af sha'asa l'rofei ha'ovid b'beis cholim m'shalti, l'haktim es ishto b'no o'ava v'ima l'kod m'lam batur, b'di'evet im'ovar v'hit m'osam, ein l'fteres rofei miktaf kido. What happens? A doctor in the hospital, triage, they come into the waiting room. And in that waiting room is the doctor's own wife or child. And in that waiting room are others. And maybe the ones who other came to the waiting room came first. So you have to allocate the resources in the hospital, in the emergency room. It's a triage situation. You only have a limited amount of life support resources. So are you allowed to give it to your own family member, even if they came after the other person? So the halacha is that's wrong. You're not allowed to. You work in the hospital. You have to follow the hospital guidelines, and you have to maintain an objectivity. However, if one did, they shouldn't be fired. Because if you stole, if you murdered, you should be terminated, should be dismissed. But if you violated tzedek tzedek tirdof, and frankly did so emotionally, understandably way, so then it was wrong, but you don't lose your job over it. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. He says, today, everyone can find a kidney and go to Chutz La'aretz. It's available. So the truth is, he says, today, if you're willing to fly to Chutz La'aretz, sign up for renewal, you can get an organ. So the fact that someone tried to jump ahead of you on the line in Israel and socialize medicine, there, they haven't stolen your life, you could really still save your life, just fly to a country where you can get the organ. It's just going to cost you the money of flying there. So that's gzeilas mamon, not gzeilas nefesh. Lefamim kore shebecheder miyun shebeis acholim mitztaber tur shacholim hamtinas man rav lausazun lemechlaka v'machlaka amusa ve'in sham makom panoi asa l'rofei hamechlaka lahaktem es hameuchar elam kein kvar hayu mushpazim b'machlaka shochru lebateim v'shuv yitzradu b'atzavam shuofen kadze nachshava ushpuz chadash kemshach v'ashpuz hakodem hu kodem l'achirim. So again, the person in charge of triage in the ER has to follow a protocol. It's not necessarily the order that you came in, because one person has a splinter and the other person has a massive heart attack. You don't say, well, the person with the splinter came first. So it's not necessarily the order you come in, but whatever the protocol is, the person in charge of triage is not entitled to manipulate the protocol for their own personal need. However, you might say that somebody who was sent home and came back, it's a continuation of their already having been a patient, so they can go first. If it's a private hospital, then you can use your private access, you can use your private decision making. So Rav Zilberstein has a fascinating moral conclusion, a halachic conclusion, that whether it's the organ transplant program, or whether it's a hospital, an emergency room, and triage, or we'll see, we're going to apply this even more broadly, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a store, do you have to follow the order that people came in? to give a table to the order that people came in? Or are you entitled to say, I know there's a line out the door to get a table, but my brother just walked in, my mother just walked in, my rabbi just walked in. That for sure you can give him a table. So, Rav Zilberstein's principle seems to be, if it's privately owned, privately operated, you're entitled to do what you want. You know the golden rule. The one with the gold makes the rule. It's a golden rule. If you're a restaurant, you're a hospital, you're organ transplant, so you're allowed. But if you are a representative, you're a steward, an agent on behalf of others, then you cannot mix in your own personal preference and your own personal priorities. Next question. Shnei anashim boim ve'achad kodem, ha'minag u'shem yishebo rishon kodem, ve'yesh l'shtapikam, yesh l'zeh mokam gam ba'alacha. Two people come, so we believe first come, first serve. The first one was there, gets the first right in the line. Does that have a place in halacha? And if you steal someone's place in line, do you have the status of a gazlan? This is a very big question. Dvar ma'amdim beruma shel olam on smorgasbords everywhere. On lines at Disney, on lines at the airport, on lines at a kiddush, on lines to sell chametz. Anytime you have a line, there's always people who cut the line. They schmooze, the chat and cut, or they claim that they need to get to the front, or there's all kinds of strategies and mechanisms to be able to cut the line, save me a place on the line, go on the line. Just yesterday, they had father-son bowling for my son's school. I went bowling with him in the middle of the day. So I came and I was online to go get my shoes, the Heiliger bowling shoes that 400,000 people wore before me. So I was online to get my shoes, and then someone said, oh, first you got to go over there to the PTO table and pay, and then you get clearance to go come up to the bowling line to get your shoes. So I left, and the guy who was in front of me said, oh, you didn't realize that? Don't worry, go pay, and I'll hold your place in line. So I went and I paid. By the time I came back, there's 20 more people. What would you say? Can I go back? I made the mistake. I didn't know that you have to go pay before you start the line. So am I entitled to come back to where I was? Or no? You can't cut the people who got it right to begin with. They got it right to begin with. They went and they paid before they came back. My point is this. I went to father-son bowling yesterday, and it's a big halacha question of a line. I was machmir, because I'm giving you the shir today. So I went to the back of the line. What's the difference anyway? So you start bowling 3 minutes later. What's the difference? What's the difference? But sometimes it's a much bigger, difference. So that's the question. Hold the questions. The halacha is, if a Beis Din is operating, and the Beis Din itself has a waiting room, and here you have two people in their custom-made suits who flew in on their private jets, and they came to adjudicate a financial dispute worth $3 billion. And then you have somebody else who says, would you believe that this guy took my cookie at the afternoon kollel? Took my cookie, it was the last cookie. There was one cookie left, I had the cookie, he took my cookie. How much is the cookie? A pruta. It's less than a shava pruta, there's nothing to fight about. Cookie was a pruta. So you got a $3 billion case, and you got the pruta, the cookie. So the guys in the afternoon kollel, they're retired. So they got to the Beis Din earlier, because they had all debt. I'm just joking. They got to the Beis Din earlier, and they came with their fight over the cookie. And then the private jets landed, and the two other custom-made suit guys come in, $3 billion. So I don't know, if I'm a dying, I say, look, cookie guys, the next afternoon call is not till tomorrow. You have the rest of today. Do you mind? You'll wait. Let me take care of these billionaires. They have a fight over $3 billion. That's what the Pasuk says. Says the Gemara, no. Kikaton kigadol yishmon. There's no katon and gadol. You don't show favor. You don't advance the line. You don't hear earlier the person is worth the more money. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has the same comment. Zug shebarishon bodkin osorishon. What's the context there? Kiddush HaChodesh. You have pairs of witnesses who are coming. They're coming to testify. You don't say to the two witnesses who came first, but then the next two witnesses that came later, they're worth more. They gave a bigger donation. They're bigger Talmidei Chachamim. They're big celebrities. Their time is more valuable. Whoever comes first, comes first. That's the halacha. And we see, says Rav Zilberstein, several reasons for this. Number one, midin pshara. We saw this, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. This is a function of the law of pshara. Pshara dictates You have to compromise. You have to come up with compromises so that all observe the rule of a line. The order of a line is a form of a compromise. The sick person goes before the healthy person, the widow or orphan go before the Talmid Chacham goes before others. Pshara, compromise. All else equal, first come, first serve. Anything unequal, someone has a condition, a situation, a status that's different, then we recalibrate what the order is. Number two, midin minag shekach nagu. B'sefer o Yisrael kosov sha'atoru minag b'nei adam. The second understanding is that the halacha guiding a line, the halacha of lines, is not a din of pshara, it's a din of minag olam. We have a notion that wherever you live, you follow the protocol of where you live. What is the custom of the local establishment? It's a social contract to have a civil society. If everybody were to just come and you'd have kol dolam gvar, survival of the fittest, everyone would just fight and wrestle and push the other out of the way, you couldn't have a functioning society. To have a functioning society, everybody has to fall in a line. So the first understanding is that the halacha of lines is governed by pshara, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. The second interpretation, the halacha of a line is governed by seder, derech eretz, minhag hamakom. Matzana gam biyachas laturas, mechtava shel hanatziv, ramay shel Yerushalayim b'shas hakrovas korban pesach. We found a letter of this Roman officer who was in Yerushalayim at the time of the offering of the Pesach, and this is what he writes. This apparently appears in the Sefer Shevet Yehuda, and it appears in Rav Yaakov Emden Sitter. Rav Yaakov Emden Sitter has a record of this letter from the time of the offering of the Korban Pesach. And he says that on the 10th of Nisan, they would go out to buy their sacrifice, and the Jews would go to work. They would go to the Avoda, Zugam lo yomar shum adon l'chaver gash hala, o shiyomar hanicheni va'avor, afilo yachron shlema o David Malkam, Shlomo o David Malkam. Even if the last one was Shlomo or David, v'sha'at l'kohanim ki ze eino midarach ha-musar. You don't make a king stand in line. V'yeshivu ki hu laharo she'en gvos l'fnei ha-malkam b'zman ha-chanas avodaso. Everyone's in line to go do the Avoda in front of Hashem. Klape shmaya, regarding being in line to see Hashem, no one has status over anyone else. Shlomo and David have to wait in the back of the line. That's what he said. They had an orderly, organized line. Shlomo and David would have to wait in the line because when you're going to see Hashem, there is no protection. Even back to antiquity, we had this protocol, first come, first serve, the notion of a halachic ethic that governs waiting in line and not cutting a line. So therefore, if someone steals, cuts a line, So he says the person who took someone else's place in line, they violated either the minag makom, or they violated tzedek tzedek tirvado of pshara, and they violated the aftoleich kamocha. It's not a very nice thing to do. What they did not violate is they're not a goslin. So what we use in our colloquial language, in our vernacular, when we say someone who took someone else's place in line, we say they, you stole my place in line. It's inaccurate. They didn't steal. They don't have the din of a goslin. What would be a nafkamina? I guess maybe possible edus. Person who violates tzedek tzedek tirdof, you're not going to give them maftiyona. You're not going to honor them at the shul dinner. But they still are of a status of being kosher le'edus because they're not a gazlan, they didn't steal. So when someone takes your place in line, make sure to relate to it accurately. They're not a gazlan, they didn't steal. They're simply an oisvarf lowlife who violated tzedek tzedek tirdof and v'yavta l'recha kamocha. Next question. Hanichnas l'tzachanya v'rosh yesh tur aruch b'kupot ha'im zehagan l'kachas agala l'amedo b'tur. I love this. This is such an Israeli question. This is mamash a gevaldik Israeli question. Apparently, there are makolats in Israel where the minhag is to do the following. I love this. Don't get any ideas locally. But listen to this. You come into the supermarket, and you take a carriage. and you put it online at the cash register. And then you run up and down the aisles, you grab your things, and you put it in the carriage, and by the time you're done doing your shopping, your full carriage, it's your turn at the cashier. What's the halacha? What's the ethic of that Yiddish cup? The Yiddish cup. You say, I'm behind you. You put your carriage in line. Then you go shopping. And when you finish, all the people who've been pushing your carriage up, who are behind you on the line, while you're running around and filling up your empty carriage, they're not going to be so happy. We're functioning like normal people. First you go shopping, and then you come online. You don't put your empty carriage online, and then you go fill up a basket and bring it to the carriage. Mamish, I'm already, like, my blood pressure is going up, like I'm one of the people behind them online, just even hearing this story. Says, we waited half an hour, Mishmakal Atana, so Moshe Yacholom Alehem, Manaf Kaminim, Ani Omid Betur, Oshani Bentayim, Mevin Matrim. So the guy with the Yiddish cup says, let me ask you a question. What's the difference to you whether my carriage was empty or full? I got here before you online. And by the time I got to the cashier, I had what to pay. I had a transaction to do. What's the difference? What's the difference to you? And if I had a full carriage and you waited behind me, that would be okay? Pretend my carriage was full when you got here. It was full by the time I had to pay. If it got to the cashier and I wasn't here and you wasted your time, I can understand. But I was here by the time it was time to pay. So what's the nafka mina? What's the difference to you? This is his question. Can someone save a place for you online? What's the halacha of someone saving a place for you online? There's a big line at the bank. There's a big line at the bakery. There's a big line. The big line. Wherever. So can you say, I'm behind you. Big line to get a table at the restaurant. I'm behind you. And I'm going to go outside, make some phone calls, take care of some errands, run some things. I know that this line, there's no shot that it's going to be my turn before half an hour. Can someone save a place for you online? By the way, not all saving a place for you online is created equal. Sometimes I don't even go. I say, you're going to get there an hour before me. Do me a favor, save me a place. And when I get there an hour from now, I want to just sneak up to where you are online. That's for sure no good. But what if I do get there? I stand there for a moment, toch kedei dibur, and then I say to you, I was here for a moment, I've been kona my muckum in this line, but I realize I have an hour. So I'm not going to stand here like a... I'm not going to stand here like an idiot for an hour. I'm going to go get some things done. You stand here. You save my place. And then you come back an hour later. Then you come back an hour later and you say, they say, who are you? Where are you going? You're cutting the line. He says, I'm not cutting the line. I was here. He's holding my place. What are the ethics of someone holding your place online? So Zilberstein says the following. Kol yesod atur shemishi gi rishonu kodem. Since the whole basis, the whole foundation of the halacha or the ethic of a line is based on tzedek and yosher, righteousness, doing what is just, doing what is correct, each situation you have to stop and analyze what's the minhag ha'olam, what are people's expectations, what's right and what's just. Since most people first gather their groceries, if everybody put an empty carriage online and then ran around shopping, you would have anarchy. So you're the one who came up with this einfall. You had this great chop to put the empty carriage online. If everybody did that, it wouldn't work. So you can't do it either. So therefore, be a normal person. Shop and fill your carriage, and only then go check out. Well, when it comes to the second question, so when it comes to the second question, he says, if you acquired your place online, he said, this is my place, I was matriarch myself, I came down here, I got online, but now that I'm here and I've established my place, I'm going to take care of some things, please hold my place. What's the difference to the people behind you? There's no nafkamina. And when they murmur, and when they kvetch and complain, they're only jealous that you were smart enough to go figure out what to do in that situation. I think his answer for both, it's almost wrong to answer, because it's tali bizmana b'makom. Depends where and with whom, what the local custom is, what's tzedek and yosher in each of those questions. What about the next question? Still have a bunch of more. It's going to be a part four. Higiyah l'chanas l'motzei chashmal. Oh, here's the next question. You get to the electric appliance store. You get to the little electric appliance store. Ubikesh liknas davar pa'ut. Shamocher marviach alav kesev katan. So, you ever go to a little electronics store in Geula? Every time I go to Israel, I have to replenish because my kids always steal it and never give it back. I think the technical name is a little chuchuk. You know the thing that you plug in the wall? It's not a converter, transformer, whichever one it's called. Which one is it? The converter? Transformer? Adapter. Adapter. So if you go on Amazon, you order an adapter. It's $29.99 for a little adapter. If you go to Geula, it is 50 agurot. So you say, give me 20 adapters. Such a big kanaker. You walk out with 20 adapters, bring it home, and then when your kids go to camp or their trip or their school trip, one by one you lose the adapters, you go back. So you walk into the store in Geula, in Machane Yehuda, in wherever you are, and you say, I'd like to buy one adapter. And they say, that'll be a shekel. So you're there, your entire shopping experience, all that you're looking to acquire is one little adapter, it's one shekel. One shekel. So you're in, you're walking around, and you say, where do I get the adapter? And the guy says, yeah, it's over there. You got there first. Next thing someone walks in and he says, I'm building a new home. I'm going to need a dishwasher. I need a washing machine. I need a dryer. I need 7 4,000-inch TVs. I'm going to need computers. Can you help me? So the guy with the adapter for the one shekel says, whoa, 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 I was here first. Is the owner of the store entitled to take care of the customer who will give him or her the biggest return? Can you prioritize the one who's going to give you the biggest return? What's the halacha? The bakery has a number dispenser. The Grove has a number dispenser on Thursday and Friday. But they see this person always comes in and they order 1/16th of a pound of coleslaw. The next person comes in and says, I'm here to pick up the kiddush for the whole shul. I need 4,000 pounds of coleslaw. So even though the order, you pick the chuk-chuk and it says you're not, you say, whoa, you come first. I'm going to make a lot more money. You're the one who's going to put food on my kid's table, not the guy with the adapter. Not the person 1/32nd of a pound of coleslaw. That's not going to feed my family. So there's the owner of the store entitled to manipulate the order, not based on first come, first serve, but based on the time that they arrived. So Rav Zilberstein says, the pasuk, ki katan ki gadol tishmon. And he quotes Rish Lakish, and the marshal there asked, and he basically, then he quotes the Erech Shai who asks him the Marsha. We're running out of time, so we'll skip to the end. And he says the following. He says, there's no mitzvah to sell something to someone. There's no obligation. Let's say there's someone shopping in your store and you say, I'm not telling you this is a nice thing to do, but I don't like your t-shirt. I don't like who you're promoting. I don't like you use the profanity. I don't like the way that you open the door. I'm not selling, please leave. Are you entitled to do that? If you own a private store, you own a private business, capitalism, it's yours, you're entitled to make the rules. Again, there's government and there are certain laws of equality. You have to be observing the laws of discrimination. You cannot violate the laws of discrimination. But within the laws of discrimination, if you want to not serve someone altogether, you're entitled. And in fact, Rav Zilberstein here applies, Chayecha Kodnin. Your life and your need for an income comes before their need for an adapter. If it's a private store, if it's your private business, you are allowed to abandon the order in which they arrived and instead prioritize based on the order of who will give you the biggest profit. We'll pick up next week with the question, what about doctors? You know, Seinfeld has a whole routine. Why do you get frustrated every time you go to the doctor? It's called the waiting room for a reason. And he has a whole routine how they take you from the big waiting room into the little waiting room. The only difference is, in the big waiting room, you got to wear your clothing. In the little waiting room, you're sitting on a piece of wax paper. You never heard his whole routine? Like a deli sandwich. You want to put a pickle there and wrap you up and ready to go. So you go to the doctor. You should be prepared to wait. doctor's office, every one of them has what's called a waiting room. Waiting is part of the culture. So is a doctor allowed to? Sometimes the doctors who say, you know, Rabbi, I know your time. If you come to see me, if you text me, I'll have them just come get you. If you text me, you'll come in through the back. I don't want you to wait. Is that allowed to do for your rabbi? For your cousin? For the person who buys you the nicest gifts? Brings you the nicest wine for taking them in? What are the ethics or the halacha that governs the order of the doctor's waiting room? Mirza Shem will pick up with it next week, and next week will be the last week that we deal with this topic. Now I want to introduce, you have the great honor and privilege of having a special guest this afternoon as part of the Kollel. And the reason it's an honor and privilege for me is because he was one of my own teachers and Rebbeim. Rabbi Ben Zion Scheinfeld was my Rebbe in high school. And I was tempted to say this before the drush and shul and Shabbos, but look at me, I did okay, I'm doing okay. If you would have asked him when I was in high school, if he would have bet that he would be at sitting in the end of my shir and at the shul that I'm the rabbi of, I'm going to guess he would not have bet. He would not have taken that bet. But he inspired me then. We learned Navi together. We learned other things together. He remains an inspirational personality today. We're grateful that he's visiting here in South Florida. He's agreed to give a shir. You're in for a special treat. We're very lucky to have him. It's my pleasure to introduce